Well, we just want to welcome everybody to the first night for Supernatural Summer. It's exciting what God is doing in this place, and I just want to thank Catherine, and you want to welcome them real quick?
I have a lot of announcements, so do you want me to do that now? Okay. So good to have everybody. I'm Catherine. I tried to meet most of you, but I don't think I fully got around the room. But can we just give Cindy a round of applause for worshiping with us and just leading? Oh, I just felt like stuff. Yeah. Oh. the anointing was so good tonight. Okay, so glad you're here. I'm really excited. In fact, just during worship, I was getting really fired up because I was thinking about why I'm so excited, and I will tell you a little snippet so that you can understand how big of a deal this is. For 4 years, actually since 2011, I've been commuting to Round Rock once, twice, or three times a week to go to Supernatural Ministry School, and it's changed my life. It's been so amazing, and I've loved every minute, and there's been so much fruit, and in fact, even one of my sisters recently was like, that school changed my life. And she's only like visited a couple of times over the years, but it's because of just the way it's changed my life. You know what I'm saying? The reason I'm telling you this is because we didn't have this in New Braunfels back when that's why I was going so far. So I need you to know what you have. Okay? This is a really big deal. Right, Cindy? This is a really big deal. As big as the kingdom. You sound like Papa Jack. So thank you for just celebrating that with me and just reveling in that amazing miracle of what God's doing in New Braunfels. I'm so honored to be here in my own city. And if you hang around Cindy very long, you'll hear her talk about equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, right? And that's what this is about. What's starting tonight is two different things. It could be that you're here tonight because you're like, you know, I just want to go to the next level. I want to learn how to walk in the supernatural. I want to get closer to God. That's amazing. It also could be that you're here because you're like, I really would like to serve on the ministry team. And you heard about that in order to serve on the ministry team at Legacy, this is a required course these next 5 weeks. So the things I'm about to say are for the people that are actually wanting to be qualified for the level one ministry team in these next 5 weeks. So let me just give you a few housekeeping announcements. And I want you to know, my heart is to just make this really easy for you. Like, basically, there's kind of a lot of administrative things that go into going through a course like this. Like, you have some homework. You know, you need to turn in your homework. You need to set up an account to be able to access all the training and the materials. So, there's actually some organization required to be able to get through this. And so I just want to make it as easy for you as possible to do this. So first of all, the way it works is there's going to be these five lessons, these five Wednesday nights in June, but then there's also six teachings from Randy Clark that are on a private page on the website. And if you signed up already for Level 1 Ministry, you should have gotten an email from me with instructions for how to connect. And I know some of you had trouble, so we're going to need to get all that worked out. But let me just emphasize, the ball is in your court. Like, I can't come after you and say, wait, did you get every, is it, are you connected? I need you to let me know, hey, we need to get this worked out. So can you do that for me? That would help me so much. okay, the other thing is, here's one thing I did for you I'm so excited about because I want to make this easy for you. I made a checklist of these things that you, the lessons that you can say, look, I did my homework for this. This is for your personal use of keeping track of when you listened or attended one of the sessions and then when you submitted your homework. So I need, if you are going through level one ministry training, can you raise your hand? And then I need two volunteers who aren't going through it to hand out these sheets. Keep your hand raised until you get, can I get two, you guys, can you help me? Eden, right? And then what's your name? Levi. Okay, can you hand these out to all the people with their hand raised? Okay, and hopefully we'll have enough. I think we do.
Then get it. Get it and do it. You're here anyway. Get the credit for it. And if you decide to participate, then great. If you don't, okay.
And there are some of you I see with your hand raised that I know you're not on my list. So please, let's get that sorted out tonight. Okay. Then the other thing is, so get your checklist and keep track of yourself, of what you've done and what you haven't done. And the other thing is, if you are already serving on the level one ministry team, or I'm sorry, just right now it's called the altar ministry team, but if you're already serving on the altar ministry team, the transition is going to happen July 24th, where Sunday, July 24th, you will be eligible to serve on the ministry team once you have completed all of the requirements. So everybody listen up real quick. Let me just clarify. I need your homework assignments to be turned in by July 24th if you want to be able to serve right away. You can turn them in whenever you want, but if you want to be able to serve right away starting July 24th, then I need you to have all your homework in by then. So what's the date that I need to have your homework? Great. And so just to kind of give you an idea of the commitment level that this is, there are 6 Randy Clark teachings in addition to the Wednesday nights. So if you want to get it done by July 24th, that's pretty much one of those teachings per week until then, outside of class, okay? Okay, so the other thing that I need you to do, this is everybody now. There are sheets here. Testimony forms, because we're going to have tons of testimonies. They're going to be happening all month and beyond. And so, Pastor Jay, it's been on his heart for a long time now to really start being good stewards of what God is doing. And in order to do that, we need to keep records and be like, hey, what happened? Oh, wow, a miracle happened. Let's keep track of that. And Miss Judy's going to help me with organizing all that. By the way, I'm going to just embarrass her real quick because I have to. I'm so excited. We need to celebrate that the first homework assignment was already turned in today because Miss Judy is so on the ball and she's so committed to revival in this city that she already did like a lesson and turned in her homework. So can we all just like follow her example? So these testimony forms are going to be on the side table over here, and I can even send you a digital copy if you want, but please think about this. And when something happens, you see, you know, God work and do something, then write it down and submit it to either me or Judy, and then we'll be able to keep track of that.
The one thing that I'm going to add to that is, because of honor, make sure that before you put anybody's names or personal information down, you get their permission first. Let's make sure to do that.
And also, the way this is kind of laid out, it actually is more for, like, for example, if you are on the ministry team and you pray for someone after church and you can tell that something cool happened in their life, you'd actually give them the form and say, hey, if you feel comfortable, you know, would you submit this? You know, on the flip side, because there actually is a release where it says the person can say, I do not want this testimony shared publicly. So then the other thing, though, is if it's your own testimony of, like, I prayed for someone at HEB and they got healed, because you're going to do that, right?
Yes.
Anyway, so, yeah, you can fill that out. But like Cindy said, like, we do really seriously need to honor people and not say share personal things. Okay, so did everybody get a checklist who's going through level one ministry training?
Tom said we ran out. We were short
okay.
some.
Did anybody get a checklist who wasn't supposed to get, like, you're not actually going through the training? No. Okay. What? Okay. Well, I'll get you taken care of.
We've got some more back here. Gary went and made some more copies.
Gary did it. Can everybody give Gary a round of applause?
Yes. Thank you, Gary.
Anybody else? Okay, anybody else need one? Let Gary know. Thank you so much. That's all I have. Praise the Lord.
Did you want to mention the reflection or no? That's just
the
homework?
Oh, thank you. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So, so I have some hard copies of the homework. Again, this is for people going through the actual level one ministry training. The way the homework is going to work is after every session or every audio lesson you listen to online, you'll fill out a reflection essay. You can, I sent you a digital copy of this, so you can just fill it out on your computer and print it, or even email it in, like Judy emailed hers in today. Email that in to me, prayer@legacynme.com. And again, stay on top of this, because before you know it, if you don't stay on top of it, then you're going to get to the end and be like, I haven't done any homework. Oh, my goodness. Don't do that. That's just not fun. So you can have, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. So you can have one of these hard copies if you'd like. Tonight, just come get one from me. I have, I think, 20, but feel free to print your own or whatever. So again, if you have not signed up, come to me and make sure that I know you're on the list and I'll get you what you need. Okay?
Awesome. Thank you, Catherine.
Please give her a hand.
Give Catherine a round of applause. She's been doing so good to keep our prayer ministry going and organized. Go ahead, Jay.
So we want to get into teaching, but I felt like the Lord said, because this is a new season, it feels like, I mean, like we just transitioned with Papa N, it felt like the page turned in the life of our church. And so it's like old things are new and the things that he's doing. So you might have been in training like this before, and what I want you to do is pretend as if you've never been in anything like this before. And one of the reasons we wanted to do this is because there's different streams and backgrounds of people coming in. You might have 10, 15 different expressions of what it means to lay hands on the sick and things like that. And we felt like it was important for us to say, this is the way Legacy goes about it. And it just creates a commonality that we're looking for with it. So it's not like our way is better versus another. We just feel like this is the way we're going to do it, and it will help in that too. So just to clear on it. But I want to pray and just lay hands on Cindy. To coming into this new season, it was very specific that he said, begin it with honor. And I'm going to teach one out of this, but she's taken on the lion's share of the teaching on Wednesday nights. And it's awesome because this is a pastor's best friend, is seeing people step up. The saints equipped for the work of ministry, well, sometimes that means other fivefold stepping into their position to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And that's what we are building as Legacy, is it's not about me, it's about us stepping into our destiny. Amen?
Amen.
Too. So if you extend out a hand of blessing, I just want to pray over Cindy. So Father, we know that you already have anointed her for this work, Lord God, but we just pray right now that we honor, Lord, your call on her life, Lord. And I just release, Lord, just an apostolic blessing, Lord God, that heaven would invade earth, Lord, that every word that she speaks would be directly from the courts of heaven and directly into our hearts, that it would shift things, that you would shift the atmosphere, Lord, that you would form our hearts to think differently than we've ever thought before, Lord God. And we pray, Lord, for a supernatural release of your power and your might, that when we lay hands on the sick, it's not just a handful that are healed, but Lord God, we see it. It's such a regularity that when it doesn't happen, that becomes I wonder what happened. Because, Lord, of what you're doing in this place. And we just declare that right now in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jay. All right. You ready? Here's what I already know. Thank you, Gary. You're ready. I already know that. as I was praying, and I've been praying honestly for this probably since before I moved here. Because to have a unified house, a unified church, going after the kingdom of God without any hesitation because we love Jesus that much, right? And so I just honor Jay and Kelly and the way that they've just pursued the kingdom and have really paid some price to get us to this point here. And so I bless you and I thank you for coming. If you're from another house, we welcome you. We bless you. If you're listening on the audio, we welcome you and we bless you. And we say, run with this wherever you are. Run with this in your own house, in your own place. Spread the news. Let's get to kingdom business. Let's get to the Father's business. We are going to be using the ministry team training manual of Global Awakening, which is Randy Clark's ministry. Jay and I both are kind of partial to Randy. In 2009, I went to a school of healing conference where I was completely whacked. I was completely saturated and just had a powerful time with the Lord in impartation where he launched me out into the unknown. I was already hungry, but I had no idea. And was able to go on a mission trip with Randy. Bill Johnson always says that if you want a fast track on healing, you go on a trip with Randy Clark. So if you ever get to go, go. You will never be the same again. They say it all the time, and even their promo videos, but it's the truth. It really is. Not that you need to, but if you can, oh my goodness. And I'm quite sure we'll be going again just because I want to, and I've asked Daddy, and, you know, he likes me. So I'll get to go again one day. But got to go on a trip to Thailand and to South Korea and then Singapore. There's beautiful stories behind all of that. But needless to say, I've seen what this looks like on the streets, in third world countries, in my backyard, in my house, in the church building, outside in the slums. This is real stuff. God is real. He's alive. He's active. He's moving, and he's still doing all of it. And he wants you guys all to participate. He absolutely does. He wants you to be able to see the miraculous and your spirit go, oh my gosh, and your brain go, what? What just happened? Really? You know, so we're on an adventure, and this may seem like really tedious teaching if you've been there, done that with this, so please bear with me, and remember that we want to have a spirit of humility. We want to be teachable. There might be a couple of other nuggets that the Lord might want to pop in your spirit or refresh in you just a little bit, so I want to encourage you in that. So this may seem, like I said, a little tedious, but it's important because I know where I was, having never heard anything about the kingdom and Holy Spirit and whatever, and I fed and fed and fed and fed on teaching, and I needed things like this and material like this and classes and courses like this to be able to walk me through the biblical foundation of healing, to walk me through the practical steps of what it looks like, you know. And I'm a student that way, so I'm like the thousand question kid, like, why, but why, but why, right? That's me, okay? So I had to ask the Lord, I don't understand this. This is in the Bible. Why isn't it happening right now? Why don't I see this every day? Why isn't this happening at church? Why don't I hear my preacher preaching on this? And I mean, this is where I was coming out of a denomination that didn't talk anything about it. So I'm just telling you, as someone who's been there, baby steps are important for some of us. I think all of us, quite honestly. But, you know, most of us don't run before we crawl. So we're going to be crawling through some of this material a little bit. So it may seem redundant. It might seem like basic information, like no duh to you. But for some who are just coming into this information, it's life-changing. And there's some nuggets in here that people skip. And I've seen damage done. I'm a therapist. I've seen spiritual abuse happen. I've dealt with it. I see it in inner healing and deliverance ministry. We don't want to do any more damage, and I'm really tired of Christian being a bad word in people's mouths in the world, okay? We want to represent the Lord really well, so we want to do ministry really well. We want to restore. We want to restore what Jesus paid for. We want to restore the kingdom of God and being able to move in this. And so I cannot start with any training without saying, if I speak in the tongue of men and of angels but have not love, I'm a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Okay, you cannot do anything outside of love. If the only thing you learn in all of this is you learn how to love really well the person right in front of you, that's all you need. That's Jesus said. Jesus said it. When he was asked by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, what is the greatest commandment? He said, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. This sums up all of the law and the prophets. That was all of Scripture at that time. He says, this is it, guys. Love one another. That's it. Love God with everything. And when you learn to love him, I mean, how can you love him with everything when you get a revelation of his love for you? You can't help but love him back. And the more revelation you get of his love for you, the more you adore him back. Like, you can be crazy in love with Jesus. And it's going to leak right out of you. I think that's what happened when Peter shadow healed people. And that's what I want. I want it just to ooze out of me. And people, we just walk by and go, what'd you just do to me? I've heard those testimonies where people are praying for people on the street and other people are walking by and going, what did you just do to me? And they're like, we didn't even look at you. Like, what are you talking about? Right? Like, I know that happens. So, Though I speak of the tongue of men and of angels but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 2. And in verse 13 it says, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. In the Amplified, beloved, let us love, for love is of God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So the most powerful thing you can do is to love someone right in front of you, and that's an expression of God himself. He is present when you will love people. If you don't know what to say or what to do, and you just, God, give me your heart for this person in front of me right now, and you just love them with compassion, something will happen. They will feel blessed. You cannot promise them that they will be healed because you're not the healer. You're not. Okay? It's not on you. The pressure is not. There's no pressure in this ministry. Okay? There isn't. It's not on you because you can't do it anyway. But when we learn how to hear the Lord and how to partner with him and apply these principles and these practical steps that we'll talk about, you're going to see amazing things happen and lives will be changed. And I just want you to think about who ministered to you. Think about the faces of people who paid a price to share Jesus with you, who volunteered somewhere, or who took a leap of faith or a step of boldness to say, hey, do you know who Jesus is? Whether it was a Sunday school class a long time ago, whether it was a vacation Bible school, whether it was wherever it was, a family member, you know, they gave away what they got, and that's all you've got to do. So we're going to go through the first few chapters tonight. We've got a lot of information. I am not going to read through every single word for word of this stuff. It's about 35 pages, the first four chapters. But I'm going to hit some key things that I think are really important as we talk about being a part of a ministry team. So chapter one is about what we're going to call basic ministry team protocols. When you're serving on a ministry team, and we're particularly talking about, obviously, here at the church, but in any ministry that you're going to be a part of, you know, even if you're just out on the street, right? I want you to have some of these characters and these thoughts in mind. Some of the objectives of a person who will serve on a ministry team or in a healing room situation, at a crusade, in any place, we want to remember that we are merely facilitating the moving of the Holy Spirit under the direction of whatever leadership is there. So we are always submitted to leadership. That's huge, okay? We want to do this teaching because we want to avoid confusion, offense, and harm. We want to release God's love, healing, and empowerment and deliverance to those who have desired prayer. We've come to edify, exhort, and comfort. It is not the purpose of a ministry team or any member of the team to release a rebuke or correction or to give direction. You're not a counselor. You're not to give advice. This is short-term ministry. This is right here, right now, you know, just a brief moment at the altar or in a healing room or whatever. This is not a two-hour inner healing session. It's not what we're talking about here, okay? We're talking about brief ministry. And that's really important to clarify because there are other trainings and other things that we hope to bring where you can be trained and equipped in those other kind of areas if that's your heart's desire, but don't let this be it, okay? We're talking about brief ministry, not in-depth counseling or advice giving. Unity is really important. So not only submission to whatever authority that you're sitting under, but unity. You need to pay attention to the spiritual realm of what is affected on your team. If you have any kind of conflict, any kind of disagreement, that is the work of the enemy to divide the team. Okay, so please pay attention to that and deal with it. And biblical confrontation is this. You go to that person one-on-one first. I don't know why I need to say that out loud, but apparently we haven't learned that somewhere. So please go to that person directly in humility and in love and let them know how they've affected you. And if you can't get a breakthrough or you're not able to have communication, then come to any of the leaders here. We want to help facilitate reconciliation, okay? But pay attention to that. It never fails that anytime I've ever taken a missions team anywhere to go do any kind of ministry, there's some kind of conflict or something that's going to get stirred up. So just if you have some stuff, it will get stirred up. I'm just telling you right now. I mean, we would tell people, especially if you're going to go overseas, if you've got junk, it's coming up. It just will, okay? You think you're all cleaned up, it's going to show up, I promise. So pay attention to that. Lay aside any of your own ministry patterns. Specifically, as you're ministering with us, we are following this protocol. If you have another or if you have a suggestion, you know, I'm totally open to hearing about it. But while you're serving under this ministry team, this is the protocol. And remember, this is level one, and we do hope to bring in some advanced training and stuff as well. But we want you to really understand that there's a rhyme and a reason for why we're doing this. We believe in Global Awakening. We believe in Randy Clark's ministry. I believe he's going to be a humble man. I've seen him work. I believe he's the real deal. And so we have partnered as a part of their network. And so we agree with that ministry and the heart of how he does things. And I think he's got, you know, what, 20 plus years of experience and lots and lots and lots of fruit, lots of good fruit. Okay, it's important that you are a prayer person. Intercession is huge. Believe it or not, you are all called to be intercessors. I don't know if that's a surprise to you, but I remember one day when that hit me, someone gave me a word about that, and I was like, oh, I never really thought of myself as an intercessor, maybe in some other kind of ministry or gifting or whatever, but I just never saw myself as that. I saw, you know, these specific people at my church, now they're the prayer warrior. Now they're the, you know, if you want from their mouth to God's ear, you go talk to them, right? Those ladies and those men. But you are called to intercession, so it's really important that you recognize your own authority to intercede for those on the worship team, to intercede for those in leadership, to intercede for preachers or speakers, to intercede and pray for God's love to manifest. Anytime you are positioning your heart for ministry, okay, you tap into the love of the Lord, enter into worship, and you pray. And if you need to grow in prayer, I suggest you intentionally pursue how to do that, how to pursue the presence of the Holy Spirit and to recognize how to hear his voice for you. Okay? In terms of our ministry here, just as what Catherine said, you're qualified as you go through the kind of the little checklist of the teaching and the training, and we want to hear your feedback as you've listened to the teaching, what you got out of it, what you didn't. We don't need a regurgitation. We know what it says. We want to know how it hit you. We want to know, did you take away anything brand new? Did you hear something you weren't quite sure was right, or you don't have a lot of experience in, or whatever, or a suggestion, like I said. That's what we want to hear from you. We're open to that. So qualities of a ministry team member, you need to have a servant's heart. You've got to have a heart of humility. There's several verses in these pages here that go over this. You need to be able to be obedient to leadership, have a freedom from desire for recognition. This is not about you or your gifting, okay? Faithfulness is a character of a servant's heart. Willingness to continue ministry even to the end of a late meeting. Now, I know you put that one in there because when you go on a trip with Randy and you're ministering, or even at a conference like we were here with, you know, Jack, you know, not too long ago. I mean, sometimes we can go into a much longer time than what this says on the clock, right? Like, and so just being able to be willing if you're volunteering. You need to have a teachable spirit. Being willing to receive ministry as well as give ministry. Again, being able to accept correction and to have people speak into your life is important. There's lots of lifestyle characteristics. We've been spending a lot of time on this in the last couple of months. If you haven't been here on a Wednesday, go back and listen to them. They're all free on the website, too. You don't have to write a paper on those. But but you can go back and listen to them as well. We've been talking about what it is to walk out inner healing, heart characteristics, really pursuing the fruit of the Spirit is so huge. I'd rather see the fruit of the Spirit show up in your life than anything you would label as a gift of the Spirit, honestly. They go hand in hand, quite frankly. But character is so important because everybody has gifts. Do you understand that? Even pre-Christians have been gifted. The gifts and call of God are irrevocable. There are psychics out there who are gifted by God. They're just plugging into the wrong source. Okay? They're plugged into the wrong source. And so there are lots of gifted people out there, but it's the character that matters. It's you staying in tune with the Holy Spirit and you growing in your walk with the Lord and continuing to be refilled by the Holy Spirit. It says in here specifically, they encourage quiet time with the Lord. These sounds really obvious, y'all, but how intentional are we sometimes in doing this? You know, of spending quality time in worship and spending quality time in the Word. I'm not talking about being legalistic. I don't think you got to be in the Word for 3 hours a day and on your face for 4 hours soaking and contending. Like, I'm not saying that. You work it out with God, okay? But growth matters. You're only going to grow when you're in the Word and when you're in His presence. Walk in forgiveness as a lifestyle. Whoa, that's huge. As a lifestyle. Okay? Live unoffendable, better yet. Just live unoffendable. Or learn how to. Or really pray that really dangerous prayer, God, teach me how to live unoffendable. And when I get offended and a button gets pushed, say, thank you, Jesus. What was that about? And go after it. Get healed up. Be whole. Walk in repentance as a lifestyle. That will keep you humble. We want to maintain denominational or racial neutrality in ministering. They put that in there. It's really important that we honor the cultures, other different way people respond when you're ministering to somebody. Keep your eyes open. I know sometimes, you know, we've been taught to pray and you close your eyes and you bow your head. But if you do that, you're going to miss out on what Holy Spirit's doing right in front of you. If you're ministering, keep your eyes open when you pray so that you can see what's happening. You can see the shift on the person's face as they're being touched by God. Or if you see the Holy Spirit moving in some manner, it's going to be important for you to keep your eyes open and to pay attention and to see what they're comfortable with or not comfortable with so that you'll be able to speak to them. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So those are all important. I'm going to skip through some of this. James 4:6 says, but he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. It's really important that you're aware of God's love for the person right in front of you and have grace for them. Yeah. Okay. So, we haven't really talked about this, but I think we have some badges and stuff for some of our ministry team, but we might do something similar that to identify. I think that's a good thing. I think we do have some of that here so that we can recognize who's on the ministry team and who isn't. Now, in a small church like ours or smaller church like ours, that's not, you know, such a big deal because we kind of know who's going to be up here, who isn't at any given time. But you go to larger ministries or larger places or a crusade of 10,000 people in India, you're going to have a harder time, you know, deciding who's the ministry team or not. So it is important, again, to comply with the authority there. All right, so catching. We're going to have to talk about manifestations if we're going to talk about catching. Now, as I said before, I was not used to the manifestations of Holy Spirit, and I was quick to judge them, quite honestly, because I'm thinking that's just a little weird, because I didn't do any of that stuff, until God got a hold of me. And I was on the floor and couldn't get up for 45 minutes bawling my eyes out. And so the Holy Spirit can come upon you. I don't know how you can be touched by an eternal, powerful God and not have some kind of manifestation, whether your heart feels like it's exploding, even if you're sitting still in your chair, okay? There is something happening. If you're not manifesting outwardly, that is not what we're looking for. I'm not looking for manifestations. Randy Clark will tell you when he prays for people, especially during impartation time, he says, you guys want to know what I'm feeling? And he'll say, nothing. He didn't feel anything. The power of God just goes through him. He didn't feel it. Okay? But when it does come, he says, embrace it all the time, which is why we always say more. We don't say, oh, God, stop. Although he's got testimonies about that in his book. There is more. If you've never read it, read that book. that's what launched me, was that book. It made me hungry. The whole thing is about impartation. But when you're praying for somebody, you might be surprised that God is going to touch them in such a way that you may not be ready for. So we want you as part of our ministry to always be ready. Now, I will confess that this has happened to me a couple of times where I should have known better. when I was just gonna just pray for somebody, this nice little prayer, you know, it was just real simple. I wasn't ministering or anything. You know, I wasn't, you know, it wasn't an official thing. I was just gonna pray for someone who shared a little bit at a meeting, and I felt a prophetic thing come out of my mouth, and I knew the minute I did, boom, she's on the floor. And I had to move quickly to catch, because there were it wasn't official ministry. We were at the end of a meeting. Okay, and so everyone was kind of mingling and lingering and wandering, and I was just going to go, oh, hey, thanks so much for sharing. Yeah, I was kind of getting this impression. It's okay. Do you mind if I pray for you? So I just prayed, just was going to pray a simple little short prayer, and boom, she hits the floor. So I quickly had to get into position to catch by myself and got her, you know, before she banged her head on the concrete. I'm praying for carpet. I am. One day I'm praying for carpet in this house. Just so you know, I said it the first Sunday I got here, we're going to need carpet. I just prophesied it. But so when it comes to catching, this is really important. There's a couple of pages in here. Always be aware that you don't know how God's going to show up with somebody, and they may not know either, by the way. In that example that I just shared with you, that had never happened to them before. So they didn't expect it either, okay? So sometimes the power of God's going to show up whether you expect it or they expect it or not. So I tend to, when I pray for somebody, Colton, can you stand up for me? When I pray for somebody one-on-one, I usually know better to pray to them at an angle. I'm at a shoulder or kind of sideways a little bit as I pray for them, just in case I got to quickly go here to catch by myself, okay? Just so you know, instead of doing it like this, okay, I kind of intentionally am at an angle. Thank you. So that's one quick tip, just anytime you're ministering to somebody. Plus, it's kind of nice to ask permission to hold their hand or to put their hand on their shoulder or something as you're praying for them. That kind of helps position you a little bit. But when you're preparing to catch someone, you want to make sure that you keep your arms in. If you are, we will have what we'll call official catchers, okay? We'll have people who has gone through some of this training before who will do that when we have intentional ministry here. But like I said, you might be out on the street and doing something and praying for somebody, and you just never know. So I just want you to be aware. So when you are going to catch somebody, you're going to keep your elbows close to your side. And if you're the person standing behind, can I use you again? I'm sorry. Thank you. You're going to stand behind them, and you're just going to gently touch their lower back right here. Just so that they know that you're there, okay? Just a nice touch, just to let them know that you're there. Some people will go down, and some people won't, and it is okay. Okay? That's not what we're after. We're not after the manifestations, but we just don't know if it will happen or not. We want to be ready. Okay? So you're just going to touch just right here. We're not heavy-handed people, whether we're in the back catching or whether we're in the front to pray for people. We always ask permission before we lay hands on people. Is it okay if I touch your head? Is it okay if I, you know, hold your hand? Or is it okay if I just put my hand on your shoulder here? Does that make sense? Now, if their body parts like an elbow or a knee or anything like that, that's kind of a safe place to touch, then we do believe in proximity prayer. There's just something to us touching that thing that we become a conduit of Holy Spirit, and we just tend to get higher statistics. Okay, now God can do it without me touching anybody at all. I'm just telling you, he can, okay? But it is just something, it's a good practice. And over many, many experiences, it's good practice to do that. But if you're a catcher, like I said, you want to be able to just kind of have your hand here lightly touching in the same way if you're going to lay hands on, we don't push. Now be careful. I've had some people who they'll lay hands on and they're overcome by the Spirit themselves. And they're going to, and they're praying like this, okay? And it's like a dance that you're kind of doing. Don't do that, please. Just be aware, especially if you don't know this person. You don't know if they're not good with people touching them, number one, which is why we ask. And it may just be, you know, some people just like their space, right? They just don't like people. They're not touchy-feely kind of people. Some people have been abused, so they're very sensitive to people touching them, okay? Sometimes it's a trust thing. Sometimes they're freaked out like I was the first time I was prayed over, and I'm like, don't touch me, you know? Or like, you know, you're digging in your heels and going, if it's you, God, you can take me down, but I'm going to just dig in there and wait. So my point is, be light-handed, please. Thank you. When you're going to catch somebody, you're just going to keep your hands at the lower part of their back, and you're going to have where your weight's distributed, it's better to have one foot in front of the other, okay, so that you're ready. So that when, because some people come slow, and they're like a feather, they just come nice and gently down, and then some people go straight down on their bottom, and so you're not really going to catch them very well. You know, you're just not going to catch everybody very well, but we want to make it obviously as painless as possible. Some people go forward, so beware of that when you're ministering. So I do that. I tend to lean forward. I tend to feel the crunches in my stomach. That's where God punches me, right here. And so I tend to go forward, and then I'm down on my knees. So some people might do that, so just be aware of that. People fall differently. I have seen it where someone might flail their hands and go, like that. So just be aware, you might get your face knocked. You know, so that's another reason why it's good to have one foot in front of the other, just in case you got to kind of turn your head a little bit like that. You just never know how people might do that, but we want you to be prepared so that you can make sure that you don't get hurt and that they don't get hurt. You want to just try to, like I said, try to catch them and gently lay them down, especially if, you know, and sometimes they'll fall on their rear or they'll at least get down to the floor, but pay attention to their head. That's the most important thing, is making sure that their head is taken care of. Also, we have these little covers. I don't know if you've seen these. These aren't special anointing cloths. These are to cover up people so that their midriffs aren't showing, so that, you know, if they're wearing a dress or anything like that, men and women, we just think it's nice, okay? If they do go down, that's why we quickly cover those, is because we want them to feel covered and safe and be able to rest in whatever God is doing, and so that they don't also get up too quickly and, you know, and hinder whatever Holy Spirit might be doing in them. So just be careful about that. Make sure you protect yourself from injury. Make sure you protect them from injury. If the person you're ministering to, if they're bigger than you, you might need to get somebody else to catch, okay? I mean, let's just be real, okay? If you have back injury or knee injury, or if there's any kind of incapacity to be able to do something, don't put yourself in the situation to possibly get hurt then. Let somebody know you can't catch anybody that day. So just be aware of those kinds of things. Real common sense kind of stuff, but you'd be surprised sometimes. It can happen. The other thing is, you want to be able to pay attention to, whether you're the minister or whether you're the catcher, you want to pay attention to the chairs and stuff behind them, so that when they go down, there's plenty of space or room, or we gently move them to the chair. You know, we can kind of get them just to kind of take a few steps back, and they can be ministered to on the chair as well. So be watchful about that, and pay attention to that. So we don't want to push or pull anybody. We don't want to hold anybody up by grabbing them either. You want to be really careful to, we catch their back and lay them down. You don't want to go under their armpits, because you might accidentally touch some parts that you don't need to be touching. Okay, so just be aware of those kinds of things. We don't want to have any kind of, you know, issues there. We do appreciate same gender prayer policy. So we do prefer men ministering with men, women ministering with women, or at least having, you know, a couple, you know, with one person or whatever. I think that's just important. It's a good policy to have, especially in deliverance ministry, but and especially to never do it alone with an opposite gender. I hope you know that, in terms of not having someone else there with you. Even Jesus sent people out two by two, y'all. So, you know, don't be a lone gunman, you know? Just be aware of that. And I mentioned this about laying on of hands, that it's most appropriate, you know, we tend to think of the forehead or the hands. That's kind of the least offensive way to kind of pray for somebody and still kind of have contact. But it is biblical to lay on of hands for impartation of the anointing. And if it's a foot, an ankle, an elbow, a back, or neck, or eyes, or something like that, always ask permission if it's okay for you to touch those parts. But if there's anything else that's a little more compromising, like, you know, their gut or their stomach or a lower back area or something, you can ask them to put their hand on the part that's hurting. And then, you know, I just kind of put my hand, like, two fingers. You know, I just kind of, you don't have to be like, you know, just, you can just, it's just touch, okay? It's just the power of touch. Like, you're a conduit, just picture you being an electric, you know, you're just going to shoot them right there. So you can have them put their hand on there, and then you place your hand on them, and that keeps everybody covered well. Here's a really, 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 really important one. Hygiene. Now, I get hot when I minister. I don't know about you, but I sweat every time I get off of this stage in worship, and it's not because of the stage lights. Like, I just know that I that's how I tend to manifest sometimes. I get really, really hot. I don't glisten as a girl. I sweat. I always have. Played soccer, I always sweat. So it's really important for you to stay fresh and clean, wear deodorant, and most importantly, have breath mints available. And if you're on the ministry team and you break out a breath mint, pass them out, just in case people forgot to get them too. I'm just telling you, it's really hard to be ministered to and have someone have really funky breath in your face. It's kind of distracting. It's hard to focus on Jesus in that moment. But, you know, please pay attention to that. And this doesn't work. That thing doesn't work. Just don't even try it. Just trust me and get an Altoid, okay? Please be aware of that. If anyone happens to get injured for any reason, just stop what you're doing. Jesus is already there, but let's tend to it, okay? Let's not forget practical sense, okay? Like, we can still be ministering to them, but if someone is really injured in any way, we want to be able to notify one of the leadership or the pastor if there's anything that has to be done. Listen, God will heal through plan A and us praying, but sometimes he also uses plan B. He uses doctors, medicine, other stuff, okay? It's not up to us, right? But just saying, let's not just sit there and let somebody be injured and not notify somebody because we're just going to keep praying after it. Like, I love your faith, but still, okay? Let's just have some common sense about that. Remember that we're all on a team, and pastoral leadership will handle any kind of complaints about how you might minister to an individual, and so we are going to be very honoring, and we will handle those things, and we will come to you just like I told you. If there's any kind of issue, we will come to you one-on-one and directly and let you know, here's some things. We might have to, make some corrective action or whatever, or have miscommunication clarified. So that's just something that they noted there, that sometimes it happens. Honor up here when it is ministry time, or like at the end of a service or something, you know, don't be sitting two rows back laughing your head off at someone else talking about a movie that they watched the night before when ministry is happening. Just be aware of your surroundings, just to be honoring of, now if Holy Spirit has a hold of you and you're laughing with joy, then I know you can't always stop that, but I'm just saying. So, but just be honoring. Just pay attention to your surroundings, especially when you're going to be on a ministry team. The goal of ministry is not to see a visible manifestation of some kind, though it may happen. It is not our goal. The goal is an impartation of the love of God through you and a release of the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And you have no idea what God is doing. Okay, so there may be nothing. There may be no sign, no physical manifestation, nothing. And I mentioned this yesterday. I'm just going to slide this one in. We've always been taught that when we pray with a brand new believer for salvation, I should probably save this, but I'm going to mention it here anyway. We believe by faith. You pray the prayer, you're saved. It's done. Why don't we do the same thing for healing? It's done. Now, do we always see a manifestation? No, but it's done. Do we always see a manifestation of fabulous character and a life change the minute they prayed to accept Jesus? No. So all I'm saying is believe with faith. It's finished, even if you don't see it, okay? We love when we do get a manifestation. It certainly edifies our faith because we know something's happening, right? I mean, it's nice, but it does, just because there's nothing happening doesn't mean something's not happening if you don't see the manifestation. So let's not get hung up about that, but just know that it does happen. And my personal opinion is just get over it. I promise you, I can almost promise you, I'm not Holy Spirit, but I can almost promise you that the minute you judge a manifestation, you're going to get it. I'm serious. Because I did. And I didn't like it. I didn't like when the manifestations would show up, when I would judge you know, particular people who would shake their head. This is my main manifestation now when the Holy Spirit comes on me. This is what I do. And sometimes it's a lot harder than this, and I can't help it sometimes. Now, I can try really hard to squinch it, and then you'll see my face do this, like I'm trying really hard not to, you know, I'll look a little constipated because I'm trying really hard to, like, control myself so that you don't freak out over my manifestation. Like, I've tried to do that before, and I've actually, when ministering to people, because I didn't want them to freak out, and I know they didn't know me, I've done that, and I apologize to them. I say, I'm trying really hard not to manifest in front of you. I'm so sorry if it wigged you out, but I'm trying. I do sometimes. I try really hard because I know what it was like to be on the other side of it, you know? So I'm just saying, pay attention to the people that you're ministering to, and if they're like, eh, it's okay, then okay, be free. But be careful about judging manifestations, because you'll get them. I promise. It will happen. Okay, so pray daily. There's a bunch of really good stuff in here. I'm not going to cover all of that, but I love the team motto. It says, be friendly, be flexible, pray earnestly, and have good breath. Okay, so there's chapter one. Now, real quickly, we're going to go through. Chapter two is just some real great prayer guidelines. I am not going to go through all of this. I think this is really good for you to read, so I encourage you to read through this chapter in your manual. But I'm just going to hit the highlights. It is super important that if we're to be a channel for the love of God and the comfort and power of the Holy Spirit, that we have to be able to maintain a prayer life. It's so important for us to grow in our intimacy with God. We should prepare ourselves for ministry, okay? If you have someone come over to your home, now you may just be comfortable with that person, because sometimes I'm that way with my friends come over, I'm like, yeah, my house is lived in, you know? But if you're hosting a party or something, who doesn't clean their house up? Okay, who doesn't put out some of their nice stuff and you decorate a little bit or whatever and make it nice and cute, okay? Well, think about that with just your heart, right? Like your position of your heart. I mean, you are the temple of the Lord. And so when you're going to be used for ministry, just make sure your heart's right. Make sure you're right with the Lord. Make sure there isn't any bitterness or unforgiveness that could block your ability to minister to somebody. You know, so stay in that position of prayer and worship. You know, and this is what they would call suggestions and scripture references to help increase the anointing on your life and ministry. You may not always feel the anointing, but it is with you and will increase if you ask. What is the anointing? It's the presence of God. How does it grow? Relationship. It's real simple. You want more anointing? You can go through 100 prayer lines and have 100 anointed people pray impartation over you, but the bottom line is it's going to happen out of your relationship with God. How much do you love him? How much do you know him so that you can love him more? That's how anointing grows, period. I don't care who you are, okay? Psalm 62:5, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. Hosea 12:6, wait on your God continually. Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Learn how to wait on God. Learn how to wait on him. Learn how to pay attention to see what he's doing, to recognize his movement. Learn how to enter into worship wholeheartedly. If you're just standing there with your hands in your pockets reading the words on the screen, then I'm not sure you're connected. I'm serious. I can see by the look on your face I can read that. You know, I'm just telling you. I'm just being real up here. Now, I'm not judging, but I can see the Spirit moving on people's faces. Even if you're not doing anything but sitting there, I can still see the peace of God on you or the joy of God on you or when the Spirit is there. So that's why when we pray with people, we keep our eyes open so that we can see how he is too. But for us as ministers, we need to be able to ask Holy Spirit to search our heart regularly that we may have a pure heart. I like this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Do nothing to quench or suppress or subdue, that's the Amplified, the Spirit by violating any biblical principle or your conscience. Ephesians 5:18. Avail yourself of the presence of God and keep receiving more of the anointing. Be ever filled and stimulated by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Renew your mind. Have a fresh attitude in the Word. Ephesians 4:23. Be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's important. Receive prayer from other people. Be willing to find people that you can trust, that you can say, you have permission to speak into my life. You see anything that is off, tell me. You have permission to say something to me. I need that. Guess what? We all have blind spots. And the people who know you best, they know your blind spots. But guess what? They don't always tell you. They don't, because they just love you regardless, which is kind of nice. But if you give them permission to nicely tell you about your blind spots, it's a good thing. I'm just saying, if you've got a real friend, okay, and I say do it nicely, especially spouses, do it nicely. Okay, the other thing to remember, this is just a good note. Be aware of being jealous of someone who seems more, quote, anointed than you are, or of some people who wish to receive prayer from and to line up for. There's no jealousy in the kingdom, I think. There's no competition in the kingdom, and you can't miss out on anything with God. There's not one good thing that he would withhold from you, okay? So God is no respecter of persons. If you see something on someone's life and it's an honorable thing, God knows your heart. Man, I'm hungry for that. God, I want my shadow to heal people like Peter's. I am wholly jealous about that one, right? Like, that's a holy jealousy for me. That's a different thing, right, to be hungry for something. But just be aware of that orphaned heart that says they're better than me and I don't have that, or I'm lacking in some way, okay? There's no competition in the kingdom. We should be excited when other people are excited and doing well. We should be able to weep when other people are hurting. That's the testing of your spirit, okay? If you're in right standing with God, if your heart's in the right place, that's super important if you're going to be a minister. Pay attention to any spiritual attacks, too. It's just a fact. When you enlist for service to pray for others in specific ways, you're actively engaging in spiritual warfare. You were born into a war, by the way, in case you didn't know that. It's not just because you decided to become a prayer ministry team person. You were born into a war. But when you become, as they put, a freedom fighter to liberate the lost, the sick, and the oppressed, then the enemy does not take that invasion of his turf without some sense of retaliation, okay? But he is a puny thing compared to our big God. And we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Like, he's totally outnumbered, right? Like, he was just a created being. Let's remember that, too. But just be aware that, like I said, if you plan on doing ministry, I've always said ministry teams, when we, like, get ready, because get yourself cleaned up. Get your heart right. Check in with the Lord. Check in with some people around you. Is there anything that needs to get cleaned up? Because whatever's in there is going to come out. It's going to get, button's going to get pushed. It's going to get squeezed. Stuff's going to get stirred up. We're going to have some drama on a mission trip because we're going to do the kingdom stuff. So he's going to stir some stuff up. So learn not to be offended. Learn how to get over it. Learn how to do biblical confrontation and love really well. Just saying, it's just what happens. But we do not give the enemy permission. So that's not where my expectation is going to be, in the sense of I'm not going to be looking for that. Oh no, I'm not going to partner with fear either. You hear what I'm saying? There's a balancing act in that. Just being aware, though, that, just be on your guard, but learn to rest in God. That is huge. I love Graham Cook, and he says, we war from a place of rest. It really makes the enemy angry. When we can chill out and rest in God and whatever's going on, okay? Rest and peace are weapons designed to keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. So make sure you pray for one another and have people who can pray and speak into your life. A couple little notes in here that I highlighted. Don't rush the work of the Holy Spirit. Let God be God. You know, if someone does come under the power of the Holy Spirit, the Lord may want you to just stay with that person and to gently pray over that person. And sometimes the Lord will release you to move on to the next person. It really kind of depends on your role in that ministry and whatever that time is. Just pay attention to the Lord. But you can encourage that person to stay on the floor and to continue receiving and give some words to them about that. Don't force the work of the Spirit. If you don't feel like something's happening, then we'll shift gears. We'll walk through that as we go through the five-step prayer model. Keep your eyes open. Pay close attention to see if you can notice or sense what Holy Spirit is doing. Watch for any kind of response that the person is having, if there is any trembling, or you can ask them also if they notice anything different. We'll unpack that. I love this line, pray biblical prayers. You know, you will seldom err if you pray biblical prayers like, come Holy Spirit. These are five-year-old prayers, y'all. This is easy stuff. More. That's an easy one. You know, just pray righteousness, peace, and joy. You know, peace, love. I mean, these are just one-word stuff. You know, it's easy. But more is my favorite. Or fire. That one's fun. Avoid the following. Don't draw attention to yourself. There's really no need to yell. You know, the enemy's not deaf. It's really about your authority. I get when the anointing comes on some people, sometimes you can get a little louder and more excited, but just be aware, you know, just be aware. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, so self-control is a fruit of the spirit too. Just be aware. You know, I'm not saying that you can't, you know, be passionate when you're praying, but just be aware. Don't force a tissue into someone's hand. Be sensitive. Sometimes when you hand someone a tissue, it seems like it's really nice when they're crying. But sometimes it gives a signal like, I can't stand your tears. Can you please stop now? I mean, like, you may not be saying that, but in essence, that's the message sometimes people get. So just be aware of that until you can ask, you know, there's tissue here, or would you like a tissue, you know, or something like that, if that's necessary in that. Okay, I'm going to skip a few pages. There's several really good information on page 21 and 22 about helping those who are having difficulty receiving. If you can kind of tell they're just kind of like stone, you know, there, and they're just, you know, doesn't seem like anything's happening, or they're having a hard time, or whatever, just ask them or just encourage them to relax. There's some great things in there. Sometimes it can just be, you know, maybe it's important for you just to sit still right now and just soak like a sponge. Just soak in his presence. Just focus on the goodness of God, you know, kind of a thing. So just sometimes I know people have been taught to say out loud and to agree with your prayers, like, I receive it. I receive it, Jesus. I receive it. I receive. I receive. I believe that. I receive that. Sometimes I tell them, could you stop talking and just receive now? You know, just receive. Don't say anything else. I just gently say, don't say anything. Don't exert any energy. Just rest in God. You don't have to strive for it. Just receive it. It's a free gift. Just be like, I love when Randy talks about, you know, this is how I got comfortable with receiving Holy Spirit, is because I was the person that dug my heels in the ground, and I'm like, you ain't taking me down unless it is God. You know, and you know, you can like fight it and stuff too, and you know, and try to keep yourself up. I totally did all that stuff. But Randy will tell you, he'll say, listen, don't give me courtesy drops. Don't go down because that's what you were taught to do. But be like a sail in the wind. If the wind blows, then you go, you know. But just being able to be open to the Spirit in that way. So I often will tell people that as well, like, you don't have to go down. It is okay. If you want to just sit, I'll pray over you here. But just receive. And especially if they start praying in the Spirit even too, you know, and even if they're doing it quietly sometimes, especially if we don't really see anything happening, I'll tell them, I'd like for you to go ahead and just try this. Just stop praying, believe it or not, and just receive. So I think that's huge. Sometimes we can get in the way, you know, our striving can kind of get in the way of being able to receive stuff. Another thing, I'll mention this when we go through the prayer time. I'll skip that. He goes into talking about blessing and how there's, you know, the blessing is such a biblical thing, and this is a little different than prophecy, but it is similar. You know, you can come up with a really nice encouraging word that's from you, and it's good. I bless you with this, and I bless you with that. And if the power of God meets it, then something just happened. That's the supernatural part that you can't do, right? but it's really important that, again, even if we don't see anything necessarily happen, or we don't see the fruit of healing right away, we always want to bless a person. We always want them, again, to feel loved. We want to encourage, listen, just believe by faith. We may not have seen it today, but I'm believing in the same way that I said, When you prayed by faith to receive Christ, you received him and you accepted it, and then he worked everything else out. So let him do the same thing with healing. Just believe that it's done. It's finished. He paid for it. And so just receive it and just let him walk it out, whatever that looks like. But we want to bless them. And so as you pray for them, release a blessing upon them. That's always a good way to close out ministry time with them. Okay, so love is the big deal. And so I just mentioned this. Chapter 3 really just kind of goes through the definition of sozo. S-O-Z-O is used more than 110 times in the New Testament. It's a Greek proverb or an action word that means to be saved or rescued out from under Satan's power and restored into wholeness of God's order and well-being. It is to be made whole and complete, lacking nothing. It is not refurbished. It is restored. It is brand new, okay? So sometimes you'll see this word where it's used for salvation. Sometimes you'll see this word in Scripture where it's used for healing. Sometimes the other healing word is therapeia, which is where we get the word therapy from, which is like healing over time. But it also means to be delivered from demonic oppression. So to be sozo is to be saved completely. That is the fullness of the gospel. This is not like three, four, five-step salvation stuff, okay? Like it's done when you say yes to Jesus, technically. You get it all in one. And so that's an important concept because so much of the time we've been taught, well, you get the salvation piece, and then, you know, and then we can pray for healing separately, and then if there's a demonic issue, then we'll pray for deliverance. Well, it all happened at the blood. It all happened on the cross. It all happened at the resurrection. Everything was defeated all at once, okay? But we also want to learn how to walk in it and apply it specifically, which is great. But there are several scriptures in here. Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be sozo, saved. Okay, again, Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be sozo, saved. That means to be made whole and complete, nothing, delivered, healed, everything. That's that word. That's what it all means, all in one. And Ephesians 2:8, for it is by grace that you have been sozoed, saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. And in other words, where we've seen the word healing, Matthew 9:22, Jesus turned and saw her and said, take heart, daughter. He said, your faith has sozoed you, has healed you. And the woman was sozoed, healed from that moment. Mark 6:56, everywhere he went, into villages, towns, countryside, they placed the sick in marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were sozoed, healed, saved, delivered, all of it. Go, Jesus said, your faith has sozoed you, healed you. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. In deliverance, Luke 8:36, those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been sozoed, cured. Same word. 2 Timothy 4:18, the Lord will sozo me, rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Jude 1:5, though you already know all of this, I want to remind you that the Lord sozoed his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. So it's everything, for the Son of Man came to seek and to sozo what was lost. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. John 20:21. There's a whole chapter 4 on salvation. That again goes into kind of, you know, as we're talking about this manual, what it does, the reason why I mentioned the sozo is because it takes a chapter and talks about salvation and the ministry of salvation, then it talks about the ministry of healing, and then it talks about the ministry of deliverance. So we're going to do that in chunks. So tonight I'm just going to mention, again, this really briefly, but if you have never prayed with someone to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, read this chapter slowly and practice a couple of verses, but specifically think childlike faith. If you are saved, then you know enough to get someone else saved. Okay, like it's good to read the book. It's good to read through these scriptures. It's good to know the Roman road, you know, but keep it really simple. Okay, you just walk through the gospel message. You walk through how Jesus paid for our sin, that we believe who he was, that he died, that he rose again, you know, but it will walk you through just some ways to remember, you know, to walk through salvation ministry. They go through kind of a four-step prayer model with that. The first step is just preparing, you know, them, kind of basically giving them a little bit of a rundown of the gospel, walking them through confession and repentance. It gives you even some beautiful examples of how you might pray with them, how you might ask them to release their confession if they need to be specific, you know, guarding your heart as you listen to some people's confessions, because secondary trauma does happen sometimes when we hear deep wounds of people, so just be on guard about that. But step three would be having them commit to the Lord, asking Jesus to come and be their Savior, to take control of their life, to come into their life, and then thankfulness, right? Just thanking God for that. So it walks through a whole lot of stuff I'm not going to go through, because I think you guys can probably get that. But like I said, if you know enough to be saved yourself today, then you know enough to pray for somebody to receive him. Keep it simple. Just keep it simple. Keep the gospel story really simple. We overcomplicate it sometimes and have a whole lot of steps. Now, I know we're almost out of time, but we're going to end this way with a time of impartation. Jay and I felt like it was really important that we begin our supernatural ministry summer. We did a little bit of this last week for people to receive the baptism. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit or have never received your prayer language, we're very specific about praying for people about that. If you want to do that, we will do that with you before you leave. But this prayer time right now is for impartation. I want to leave you with a couple of scripture. I won't be able to read them all to you. But Randy has a great teaching on impartation, and like I said, his book, There Is More, the whole book really is about what the gift of impartation is. And Numbers 11:17, God told Moses to gather the elders, and Moses imparted to them, okay? There's two ways that he'll pour out his spirit. We can do it by prayer and contending, just like in Acts and Pentecost, Acts 2, Acts 4, 1 Timothy 4:14 said, don't neglect the gift that was given to you through prophecy and impartation when he was ordained in ministry. 2 Timothy 1:6, where it mentioned through the laying on of hands. Acts 19:6, they talk about there were tongues and prophecy that happened when the Spirit showed up. Acts 8:16, Hebrews 6:1-2, those were when there were men that were walking along and talked about that they had been baptized by John, but not baptized in the Holy Spirit. So Paul prayed for them to receive not only for salvation, but to be baptized with power. And that came not just by water repentance, but by the power of God that comes upon you. Because you get Holy Spirit when you receive Christ. He comes within you, but it's another thing for his power to become upon you. When it comes upon you, it is for other people. It is not for you. When he comes within you, it is for you. He comes upon you, it is for other people. That's what the anointing is about. It's not about you, it's about them. So, and then Romans 1:11, Romans 15:19, those are a couple of others. I just wanted to share with you about that. We want to pray for you. So, Jay, you have anything you want to add before we get started?
Just to encourage you that we're going to be building on this the next several weeks. So, next week, Cindy's got another part of teaching, then we'll hit Biblical Foundations for...
You'll do Biblical next week.
Okay, so we'll get that. So next week will be Biblical Foundations for Healing, because sometimes people ask the question, does God still heal? And the answer is yes. And before we scoff at that, for those who've come from the stream of healing's a normative part of it, I came from a stream that never taught about it. And so it's important for us to also not build up walls and look at somebody that says that doesn't realize that healing's for today, because they're just repeating what they taught. So we're going to walk that through next week and then continue in. And to encourage you on this too, this time of impartation is, there's another word that talks about the anointing is to be smeared with. So you talk about, what are we being smeared with? Him. It's his presence. So it's not so much what I carry or what Cindy carries. There's a conduit from heaven to earth. And we stand in between heaven and earth. And when you talk about a double portion anointing, it's not that I have twice as much to give, but I'll release what I have. Freely receive, you freely give. And then he adds another anointing towards you with that. Does that make sense? And so as we go through this thing, I don't want there to be some expectations or a lot of weird teaching that's out there for some of the stuff, but just really receive. And I think Cindy said it, get into position just to receive. And if you receive as a friend to a friend, you'll receive a friend's blessing. Or if you receive, I say you receive us in the name of a prophet or in the name of an apostle or any of those things, then you receive that greater level of calling and anointing. So your willingness to receive is going to dictate what you get. It's not what we have or don't have. It's how you opening up to receive this. Make sense?
Yeah, from Papa. It's a gift, not a reward.
That's it.
They're gifts, not rewards. So, okay. So we're just going to pray. And how do you want to do this? I was just going to walk through.
Yeah, I think we got a lot of people. So,
I know.
If you want a specific, well, I'll just say this to you because we want to release our childcare too at some point. If you want to afterwards, we'll stay around and lay hands on individually and personally so you can get in touch with that regard on it. But right now, we're just going to walk through. So get into a position to receive. I've got a gift. Imagine I was about to hand you a $1 million check. You'd be ready really quick, right?
So I'm just going to pray just overall first. Father God, we just adore you, Papa. And we thank you. God, I thank you that every name, every person that is here, you know them by name. You know every circumstance, every situation, everything inside their hearts. And of those who are listening to this teaching even later, God, I thank you that your timing and all things are perfect. And so we say yes to you now, God. We say yes to you, Holy Spirit. We ask you right now just to release the angelic realm. God, I thank you that there are gifts that are going to be restored, dreams that have been lost that will be recovered. There are new gifts that are going to be given. There are gifts that will be multiplied. There will be commissioning angels that will be commissioning some people into a whole new thing, into a whole new level. I see new assignments being released right now in Jesus' name. I see scrolls being opened and trumpets being blared, and there will be some of you that are going to be giving birth to a whole new thing today, and it's from God. It's from God himself. Some of you have been tarrying, and you've been really weary, and you've been pressing in, and you've been pressing in, and you've been pressing in, and he says it's time. Some of you have just been waiting, learning how to rest in him, and he loves that. He loves that you've been able to rest. But he's going to shift some things. So I thank you, God. We say yes to you. Have your way, God. In Jesus' name.